Welcome to the Sales Acceleration Show, where we talk about the science of selling across the areas of demand generation, sales, and sales operation. This show is about doing. We focus on real problems, real solutions with real people, all dedicated to accelerating sales.
I'm Gabe Larson.
And I'm Steve Ehrer. Let's dive in.
Welcome. Talking all things sales acceleration with my friend and colleague, Steve. How are you, Steve?
Good, Gabe. How you doing, man?
Well, you know, I just had an awesome couple of days. I went and hung out with Jack Canfield, author of Chicken Soup for the Soul. That guy.
So Everybody's actually read one version of that book at least.
Well, that's the thing. So I went out to his house as part of this conference. Great house, San Bernardino. 5.4 million. It sits on about 3 acres. Awesome. Yeah. But, you know, listening to that guy's story, you know, and getting kind of the behind the scenes view on Chicken Soup for the Soul, you know, they ended up actually selling, they don't own that, that brand anymore. Jack Canfield doesn't, they actually sold it to the publisher in 2007, but yeah, they have Chicken Soup for the Teenage Soul, Chicken Soup for the Soul, Chicken Soup for the, I mean, they
Chicken Soup
that
for the
brand.
Chicken. That's a little weird.
Chicken Soup for the, I mean, good for them though, cause they made a lot of money. But,
oh, absolutely.
So I just flew in, man, tired as a dog.
And they made a lot of money, but they also, what I really like is they made a lot of money helping people. It's good stuff. I mean, everybody's, you have a bad day, go pick up one of those, and it makes you just feel good.
Well, and Jack Camp, I mean, I think he's just a good guy. I mean, he was solid, super, super wise. You know, he's tried a lot of, he's been to Tibet, he's been to Bali, he's investigated different things. Great motivational speaker, just a cool cat. So
sounds like it. I'm a little jealous.
So that's what.
I dealt with rain and snow here in the Wasatch Front.
Yeah, sorry, I was in San Bernardino. I can't complain too much. But, you know, as I was out there, I was thinking of our next podcast. And this one's got a little bit of meat behind it. You know, today we wanted to talk about what your buyers actually want. I mean, you're in sales. That's got to be one of the fundamental questions you talk to your guys about, no?
Well, it's been the big shift. So when I first started in sales, it was, hey, let's talk about features and benefits of the product. This is what the product does.
Yes. Right?
This is what it does, and this is how it's going to help you out. And there's been a tectonic shift, if you will, away from that, where I really don't even, especially on the first call, want my guys to even mention product. We want to dive into the people that we're talking to, discuss a little bit about what is bothering them, what are they concerned about, and it's different. So it has to do with what we're talking about today, but it's very different depending on who you're talking to.
Yeah. Listen to this quote. See if you like this, Steve. I was pulling this out. It's a Dale Carnegie quote. That's an old one, but
I personally read Dale Carnegie's How to Win Friends and Influence People every year. It's a once a year read for me.
Yeah, this quote, I posted it on LinkedIn the other day, and I got some mad interaction, but it says, "Personally, I'm very fond of strawberries and cream." It's a little bit of a weird quote, but go with me for a minute. Personally, I'm very fond of strawberries and cream, but I have found that for some strange reason, fish prefer worms. So when I went fishing, I didn't think about what I wanted. I thought about what they wanted. I didn't bait the hook with strawberries and cream. Rather, I dangled a worm or grasshopper in front of the fish and said, "Wouldn't you like to have that?" Why not use the same common sense when fishing for people? What do you think of that one?
It's kind of a little folksy the way he puts it, but when you think about when it was written, yeah, that makes sense. But it's one of those duh comments. It's like, why don't we worry more about what the other person wants? Why don't we worry about giving the value that they need, and then worry about everything else a little bit later?
Well, but you know, this is one of the things that I've debated is I kind of feel like, I mean, don't you feel like a lot of people are getting this? They're understanding that it's not about me, it's about you. Even when we were kind of talking features and benefits, you know, how does it benefit the client? Now, to your point, a lot of companies, a lot of teams are going deeper and trying to just, let's talk strategic about what you care about. I feel like people are, you know, getting onto that concept, but I question if they really know what is most important to their buyers and maybe how to talk about that. Is that, would you say that's a little closer to the truth?
Well, we always use sports as an example, right? If you're calling a football team and you say, hey, listen, I have the newest, latest and greatest way to snap the football. We're going to snap it. It's going to be snapped faster. He's going to block. It's going to be dead on accurate every time. But you happen to be talking to the defensive coordinator, you know, the guy who handles the defense.
Right.
It's not the concern he's got.
Right.
Right. He's worried about sacking the quarterback and getting to the quarterback and breaking up plays. We have to be aware of who we're talking to and what their own concerns are.
Yeah. Well, you know, sports is an interesting analogy. I'm thinking of this Dale Carnegie one, and
someday you'll be a fan of a real sports team.
Yeah, enjoy the Sunset Bowl or whatever you're going to, sucker.
Where are you guys again?
San Diego. That's all I know. It's somewhere near San Diego. It'll be a nice warm place.
That's okay. I've moved on. I'm on the NFL right now.
That's so true. It's so true.
This is the one time as a Lions fan I can gloat.
Yeah. Man, I can't argue that, man. You guys have got something going. So I'm thinking of the Dale Carnegie quote, right? And you think something like, you know, he's like, look, fish want worms. But to your point, it actually depends on which fish we're talking about and where you're fishing. You know, actually, some fish want salmon eggs. You know, some fish want power.
Do you fly fish, Gabe?
No, you know, I'm a wannabe. I've probably done it a handful of times.
We'll go this next summer. But yeah, if you're sitting there, the big trick to fly fishing is knowing exactly what the trout are biting on. And just because you've got this really cool fly that looks really cool in the box doesn't mean that's what they want. And even if you used a specific fly at another river, doesn't mean the fish at that river you're at right now want your special fly.
Well, see, and therein I think lies the problem, because I do think most sales reps can say, hey, we know we need to talk or say what the buyer wants, talk about that. But I don't know if they know, because they're in this river, you know, that they should be using this bait, right? And so
I think most sales reps do what I did when I first started, which is they have this really good pitch that they have crafted.
Yeah.
They have wordsmithed and they have scripted, and they use that pitch, and it doesn't matter who they're convinced that pitch is so good. It doesn't matter who they're talking to, it's going to work.
Well, don't you feel like almost I don't know if this happens at InsightSales.com, but you know, certainly I've been at other companies, and each rep would probably have then kind of that different approach, that different, this is what works with our target buyers. Is that
right?
Is that probably true?
But they would have, this is what I had, and this is true confession. I had my pitch that was so good, Gabe. Gabe, this thing would, I could part the Red Sea with this pitch. I could work miracles with this pitch.
Yeah.
And it could do everything for everybody. And I couldn't have been more wrong. The fact is, you need to craft your message and what you're saying to the person you're talking to. So number one, you need to do enough research ahead of time that you know who you're talking to and why you're talking to them. But then number two, you need to know what they're worried about.
Right. And well, this is kind of the fundamental thing.
How's that for a segue?
Yeah, I was going to say, that's a great segue.
Thank you.
As if we almost practiced that, but you know we didn't. I both know we did. Well, most organizations, you got two options here. One, you just let reps kind of figure it out on their own. Number two, a lot of organizations will build these buyer persona templates or documents, and they will identify their buyers, and on it they will talk about top priorities or things that interest them, and then reps can build the program or the play around that. The problem is, to me, it is all kind of backs into this area of subjectivity. You know, you interview one or two customers, you get a couple reps in a room, you basically end up guessing more or less about what a customer really wants. Well, we went and did something different, and we had a blast doing it.
As per usual.
We partnered with a company called Empath. And for those of you who don't know Empath, it's a 12-year-old company, pioneer in conceptualizing, developing, and really cool services around this emerging field of artificial intelligence. They call it digital sociology. They say it's the science and discipline that studies vast quantities of data using artificial intelligence and computational linguistics, machine learning. They analyze all these interactions and their change over time, and then they predict and prescribe actual intelligence around it. Now, you talk to some of the people over at Empath, your mind is blown because they use words. Some great words. I can't remember. I wrote some of them down, but they were mind-blowing. But the long and short of it was, we partnered with them. We said, hey, let's go study the top 10 buyer personas, and we want you to tell us what are the most important things on their mind. And they basically, in partnership with Inside Sales, looked at over 623 million online interactions, over 5 years of data.
So they crowdsourced the data. They went big data on this stuff.
Yeah, and they're basically crawling. I'm terrible. I don't even know what they did. I'm just going to make it up here. But they're crawling the web. They're looking at all of – they're identifying these personas, and they're listening to them. They're seeing what's going on. A little bit creepy. It's a little bit creepy.
I've actually seen a couple documentaries on like the Discovery Channel about this stuff. It's really cool. I've seen the same thing. There's a group out there that has tried to predict what the stock market's going to do based off of internet chatter.
Yeah.
And what they're able to determine has actually been almost I don't want to say it's predicting the future, but it really gets a good pulse on what's going on out there. So this isn't the only project that does this.
And I think there's some legitimacy to it. I mean, absolutely. I think there's something going on here. So
it's big data. It's the same stuff that we talk about as a company. It's big data. You put all the data together, and patterns are going to arise.
And there was some interesting patterns that came out. We opted to break this down by title level and title function. So if you remember, title level is it's kind of the authority or span of control of a role, and the title function is just that area you're assigned to, you know, like sales or marketing. So it's a cool – we've actually packaged in a little report. We encourage everybody to go check it out. But a little quiz for you, Steve. Let's go through some of these and see how good you are at determining what the top priority of some key personas are. Let's start at the top.
All right.
Let's go with inside sales, C-suite. So we're going inside sales, the function, title level, C-level. What is the most important thing to that title level and title function?
Well, I'm going to go based off of the meetings that I've been in and where they tell us, give us our marching orders in sales at insidesales.com. And I would say that they want much bigger deals.
Oh, man, are you cheating? Are you cheating?
Maybe a little, but no.
It was bigger deals. The interesting thing is you go drop down, it changes by different roles. So you'd see in the report that, you know, C-suite wants bigger deals, but a VP is looking at that account expansion.
Really?
And director, it kind of changes it up. So each role, you can see some – there's a little bit misalignment in some of –
does that surprise you that – I mean, you would think that, the VPs get their marching orders from the C-suite and the directors from the VPs and managers all the way down. Don't you think – in my mind, I would think that it would be aligned. It might get more specific in my mind, but it should be – in an ideal world, it should be pretty well aligned.
Yeah, you know, I worked at Gallup a long time, and one of the things Gallup really got into was, they just found that actually with every manager, you had a different kind of company or a different kind of culture. And very often, you know, that different little team was running a little different program. So I'm not surprised that there's some real misalignment between some of these different people. So that was a little bit on inside sales. We got sales ops, we got sales, we got client service. Let's go sales ops. This is almost like Jeopardy. Sales ops.
Sales ops for $500.
For $500. Sales ops VP versus EVP. So the VP said, the analysis produced, optimized sales process. That's kind of their number one thing that they're thinking, talking about. EVP was faster sales, and then C-suite went into knowledge management. So that one across the board was quite different.
Well, I can see faster sales, optimize the sale. Like faster sales to me would be the overarching, we need to do this faster, right? These deals don't close fast enough. And so the VP is saying, okay, well, how do we do this? Well, we need to figure out how to optimize that sales process, make it more efficient, right? Let's make this sales process more efficient so it goes faster. I can kind of see those working together, but the knowledge management, that's where I don't see the connection there.
Yeah, it's kind of out in left field. You know, the only place where you saw real leadership alignment was in the marketing. Marketing's number one at the C-suite was customer intelligence. The EVP matched that, and then the VP matched that as well. It wasn't until you hit the director where data priority came out to be on top. So
let's see if our marketing team's listening. That's because that job is so simple. Now, if they're listening, we're going to hear about that.
Yeah, that's true. That's probably true. I didn't say it, you guys. He said it. You know, I think to bring this to a close, the key is it's such a different way to look at what buyers want. I mean, some of these have been surprising. I mean, I've done this. I've approached a director, you know, trying to get a coach and wanted to talk his or her language. And I don't know if I knew inside sales that if I wanted to be the most statistically accurate, if I was approaching a VP of sales, I would be talking to them about expansion of accounts. That is, according to millions and millions of interactions, their biggest hot button. If I wanted to say sales ops, so a data-driven approach to determining target buyers' wants and needs, that's totally different. And there was, when you and I were going over this before, we had some real like, wow, really? I don't know if I would have thought of that. And the great thing about the report is it breaks it down all the way from, you know, you got sales C-suite all the way to what are sales reps actually thinking about. So it's pretty interesting, quite a different approach, I think, than what most people are taking. And it's really been a game changer for inside sales.
Well, I can tell you this. My team is going to be taking a look at this tomorrow, and we're going to start implementing some of this stuff tomorrow. So some of it's actually really, really surprising. So,
well, with that, over to you, my man. Let's roll.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for listening. Please go to the links that we've got located here, and let us know. We've actually just added a new comments feature to the Inside Sales Acceleration Show website. So if you go to salesaccelerationshow.simplecast.fm, that's where we are right now. Go ahead and leave a comment. Let us know what you thought. What surprises you from this report? And leave any comments. You can also subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. It's always fun. I'm one of those guys that goes and reads the reviews. Can't help myself. It's great day. Any time we can hear back from our listeners. Go ahead and email us at podcast@insidesales.com. Any complaints can go there to Gabe. And reach out to us on Twitter. Twitter's at Gabe Larson. That's S-E-N. And I'm at Steve Error. And reach out to us on LinkedIn. I always say this, but Gabe's got some great content that he's got on there. And thank you very much for following and listening. And with that, let's get at it.